Hey, I'm so glad to see you today, and we want to welcome those worshiping with us online as well. Now, you may not have noticed, but I wasn't here last week. Anybody pick up on that? You know, people, I say I was gone last week, and they say, you? Gone? Really? But you know, we're so fortunate because we have so many ministers and so many staff who can preach so well here. What a blessing it is to have a staff like that, and we're just grateful for them. We really are. You know, I don't do a lot of things well. One of the things I do well is recruit. Really, all my life I've been a good recruiter. That's one of the things I do pretty well. So I'm just grateful that God has sent us the folks we've got. Now we're going to continue the series, okay? We started a series 2 weeks ago. Normally I take the Sunday after Easter off, and I would have started this sermon series last week. However, our granddaughter, Collins, have I mentioned her? She had a special program at church last Sunday, and so Buddy and Honey had to be there, for there was a command performance. And we were happy to go, and they threw in an extra thing. We got to go to the Lebanese Food Festival on Saturday, and I learned how to belly dance and all kinds of stuff there. So, boy, now there's a visual. You know, don't think about that before you have lunch, okay? But anyway, I went, and it was a great, and Collins actually danced. There was a group of girls, children, youth, and so she danced with them. So that was on Saturday, and then the special service on Sunday, so we had a long weekend up there. But I'm glad to be back. So I took off the two Sundays after Easter, and now we're coming right back into the series. How many of you remember I started a series 2 weeks ago? Okay, I want to thank both of you for that underwhelming response, okay? The series is entitled From Passover to Pentecost. Now, Passover is starting tomorrow, April 22nd, and it goes through April 30th. And then Pentecost is May 19th, okay? So that's the series we'll go through this time together. And today, the message I want to talk to you about is entitled According to the Flesh. According to the flesh. And we're going to talk about the 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. You know, Jesus was resurrected and he appeared and he was on the earth for 40 days and then disciples were there for 10 more days and then Pentecost came, the birthday of the church. So I want you to look at John 20 first. We're going to see that together. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she went, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus, which is strange because she had spent 3 years with him but did not recognize him. The scripture goes on and says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, you would think when he came through the wall, they would know something is up. Did you see the scripture? It says the doors were shut and he came in and he was among them and he didn't come through the door, okay? And then he said, "Peace be with you." Now, they weren't glad until they realized who he was, until he said, "Look at my hands, look at my side, I want you to recognize me, okay?" 8 days later, the same thing happened with Thomas, we read. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came and the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you," okay? Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. That's important. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now he recognizes Jesus. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. He didn't say my Lord and my God until Jesus says, come here. Let me show you. Look, I want you to see the evidence now. And then he recognizes him, okay? Now, it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Now, who are them? Well, what he's talking about here is the two guys he walked with toward Emmaus, and he talked to them, and they didn't recognize him, but he sat down and he had communion with them. Then, it says, their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. They've been walking and talking to this guy for hours. They're saying, haven't you heard the news of what happened about Jesus of Nazareth? And they're telling him all about Jesus of Nazareth, and they don't know it's Jesus of Nazareth, okay? And so then in 2 Corinthians we read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. What's he saying? He's saying that the people didn't recognize Jesus because when he was resurrected, he was in a different form. They didn't recognize him at first. They didn't see him. You know, when you think about Jesus, what do you think? Someday I'm going to see Jesus. What's he going to look like? And maybe you have a picture in your mind of what you think Jesus looks like. And maybe you've looked at pictures and you think, well, this is him or this is him. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, we're not supposed to look at the flesh. We're supposed to look at the spirit. We're supposed to look at the heart. That's where we really get to know people. Have you ever had a conversation with someone on the phone that you never met? And you talk to them, and maybe you have several conversations, and you talk to them before you ever meet them. And so you know them, you know their personality before you ever see what they look like. Or maybe you do that online with people, and you talk to them, and then later on, maybe you meet them, and you get to know them. Well, here's the deal. What happens with us is that we're so preconditioned to size people up, right? And we all do it, and we see people, and we begin to form opinions in our minds. And he's saying, I want you to move away from that. I want you to begin to look at me as spirit. I want you to look at people, look at their spirit, look at their heart, get to know them. Don't be hung up. Don't let things put you off. This, you know, you might be put off with this person for whatever reason. I want you to get past that and move forward to that. And so that's what I want you to see. Don't worry about the human form. Now, it says, you know, when you regard people, okay? Well, regarding is judging people, essentially. And it says, anytime you do that, you know, you're judging and they're judging. And what do you realize? Well, there's a prejudice. You prejudge. Before you know them, you prejudge. There's a prejudice, and you need to move past that to really get to know them. I want to just give you a quick four examples of how we might do that. There are other examples. Okay, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I just want you to see that. One of them is ethnicity, okay? Ethnicity comes from the Greek word ethnos. Ethnos, okay? And it means nations or languages or regions of the world. And so in John 4, you remember Jesus was at the well and the woman came and we saw that. I preached that sermon. We watched the video, the woman at the well, right? And what does she say to him? Then the woman of Samaria said to him, to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, notice she brings race into it right away, and that was what they did then, especially with Samaritans and Jews, okay? Ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. I want you to watch Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. What's he saying? Listen, I understand, but what I want you to know is you're prejudging me based on what I look like. And maybe there are other people from my particular background who have mistreated you. But I don't want you to just prejudge and think I'm one of them, because I want to have a relationship with you that's different from any kind of relationship you've ever had before. And I want you to get past the differences between us. And I want you to get and embrace the things that we have in common. I want you to see me. I don't want you to prejudge me. That's a prejudice that takes place. He's saying you're judging me in the flesh. I want you to know me by the Spirit, okay? And he says, you need a Savior, and I am that Savior. That's why I'm here. That's why I came to see you today. That's why I'm here. So you got to get past the racial thing. And what he's saying is, we decide to regard someone, that's to judge someone, before we get to know them, before we interview them, before we discern from them. We can't just do that through the flesh. We have to get to know them as who they are. Okay, you got that one? The second one, gender. There's a prejudice in the world over that as well. In Galatians, it says this: there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He's just saying, get past that and look at the Spirit. That's all he's talking about there. For we are all one in Christ, okay? Now, how is a woman less capable than a man? If a woman comes into a business meeting and you're sitting there and you start forming opinions and you say, well, I don't know if I can trust her. I don't know if I believe her. Well, why? Well, because she's a woman. Well, no, let's get to know her. Let's understand her first. Let's develop a relationship and find out who she is. Now, there are differences in men and women. I just want to point that out. Okay, in case you're not aware, I read in my devotional this morning, in Genesis it says, male and female, he created them. It's God. God has a plan, and his plan, it has no mistakes in it, okay? He knows what he's doing. The enemy doesn't know what he's doing, except all he wants to do is try to deceive people to get them away from God. That's really all it boils down to. Any way I can, I just want to hurt God by taking his kids away. And if I can deceive anybody and get them to do whatever I think, you know, is opposite of God and what God says, then that's what I'm going to try to do, okay? And so we realize there are differences. We all know that. I'm simply saying we don't have to judge people by ethnicity or gender. And there are people today who take it too far and say there is no difference between a male and a female. There are differences, okay? Trust me, thank God, there are differences, okay? And so we want to see that. Now, the third thing is age. This is discrimination. In 1 Timothy, it says this: let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now, the word despise there, it's a Greek word, and it's talking about contemn. Now, contemn is not the same. It's not condemn, it's contemn. And contemn, we get that word from the word contempt. I have contempt for someone. Contempt means that I just look at someone and I don't regard them as worthy of my notice or consideration. Now, years ago, when I was serving in the Auburn, Opelika area of Alabama, a young man who was a minister of Wesley Foundation, he contacted me. He was stationed at Tuskegee University in Tuskegee, Alabama, not far away. And he was from Tennessee, and I'm from Tennessee, and we connected and talked together. And so I liked him, and he said, I want to come to your office and meet with you. And I said, I don't want you to come to my office. I want to come to your office. I'm going to come see you. I've never been to Tuskegee. I've read about George Washington Carver. I've heard about, you know, the university. I'm going to come over there. I want you to show me around. I'm going to come to you and come to your office. He said, well, that's part of why I'm calling you. I'm trying to get some money because I don't have an office. He said, I just kind of take my laptop and sit up in the grill, and that's where I'll be. I said, I'll be there. And he said, all the students come in there. And so that's where I talk to them and visit with them and get to know them. Now, he took me all over the campus. I saw some fascinating things. It was interesting to me. I'd always wanted to go. I'd never been. But here's something I noticed as I'm walking through the campus at Tuskegee. Everyone I saw that particular day was African American. Everyone. Everyone there, including my minister friend, was African American. So I'm walking along in the campus there. I'm on the sidewalk. I'm outside. People coming, people going. And they would speak to the guy who was with me, the guy who was at the Wesley Foundation. They would not speak to me. I don't mean that they, you know, just kind of brushed me off. I mean they could not see me. I was invisible. You would think an old white guy would show up there. Nothing. They did not see me. Now, what this is talking about is, you know, don't write people off because of age. This is talking about don't write the young people off because they're young. You know, they've got something to contribute. And I'm just saying, don't write the old people off because they're old either. They've got something to contribute. They've been around for a while. So, you know, notice me. Here I am. See me? And I'll try to notice you as well, because we want to have a relationship with each other and with God. Now, here's what it says in this scripture, okay? Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Now, I want you to catch this. He says, when you look at the older folks, you can see them as an older man. Maybe look at them as a father, an older woman as a mother. But now the older men and women don't look at the younger men and women as sons and daughters, but rather as brothers and sisters. Here's what happens. Your kids grow up and they become adults, right? And your relationship with them changes now. It's not the same as it was. You treat each other like adults now because you are. And so they have a life, you have a life, and you have a new kind, which I enjoy, a new kind of relationship together. And so that's what he's telling us to do there. And so when someone speaks to someone else, you know, don't get hung up on age. Don't get hung up on those things. And here's what he's really saying. Look up to everybody. Don't look down on anybody. Amen? I mean, that'll preach. I don't care who you are right there. Look up to people. Think the best of people. The Bible says if you love somebody, you'll expect the best of them. It's okay to respect your elders. It's also okay for us to respect those younger than us. And then it's not okay for either one of us to disrespect one another. We need to appreciate one another. So we've got to see each other as brothers and sisters. And then the fourth thing is appearance. You don't judge people because of the flesh. And so God tells Samuel, I want you to go to Jesse's house and I want you to anoint a king. He's got a bunch of sons. And when you get there, I'll tell you which one it is, okay? And so Samuel goes and he gets there and they line up the boys and he looks at the oldest son. And he's just amazed by him. And when he looks at him, it says this. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. In other words, he said, he's the oldest. He's the tallest. He's the best looking. He looks like a king. Nobody has to tell me. I can just figure it out by looking. And God said, he's not the one. That's what he says. He says, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. Powerful, isn't it? I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. In other words, we're not looking at the flesh, is what he's saying. It goes on, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. When God looks at you and me, he's looking at the heart. David was a man after God's own heart. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at the spirit. He's looking at the heart. And he's trying to teach you and me to get past the things the world has taught us to be hung up on, the things that have separated us, the things that keep us apart. How many times do we judge by outward appearance? You see a guy, and he's really, really tall. And so you say, can I ask you a question? And he says, he just answers the question with three answers. He says, 6'9", 13, and yes. That's what he's saying. Because so many people ask him all, he's 6'9". You've got to notice him, right? How tall are you? What size shoe do you wear? And do you play basketball? He already knows before they ever get to it what he's going to ask. And so he just goes ahead and gives you all three answers. Now, I'm not saying don't notice somebody who's 6'9". How can you not notice somebody who's 6'9"? He's a giant. So you're going to see him, right? You just don't judge him solely on the fact that he's tall. But you get to know him. You develop a relationship with him because society is really hung up on appearance, okay? And God's saying, you know, look deeper than that. Look further than that. There's more there. I want you to get to know that person. Don't judge by ethnicity or gender or age or appearance. Okay, those are just four I chose. We're going to move on. I'm going to wrap it up, okay? Now listen. When Abraham Lincoln was serving as the 16th president of the United States, he would often slip out of the White House on Sunday evening, and he would walk and attend the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church there in Washington, D.C. He would slip in a little late so he wouldn't be noticed. He didn't want to disrupt the service. He would leave just a little bit early. Well, oftentimes, he would take a staff member with him as he went to church. They liked to hang around with him. They would go with him as well. And so one time, when they were coming back from church, walking back to the White House, the aide looked at Lincoln and he said, "What'd you think about the sermon?" And Lincoln said he thought the sermon was fine. But then, when the staff member pressed him and said, "No, come on, really, what did you really think about the sermon?" Abraham Lincoln said this: "The sermon failed because the minister failed to challenge the congregation to do something great." The sermon failed because the minister failed to challenge the congregation to do something great. I don't want this sermon to fail. And that's why I want to challenge you and me to do something great for God. And that something is to begin to see others the way God sees them. When Laura and I were dating, you know, Laura, my wife, she sings and plays the guitar. I don't know if you know that. And back in the day, there was a song by Amy Grant that was "My Father's Eyes." That's what she would sing. And Laura would sing that song and play the guitar and sing to me, "My Father's Eyes." She still sings to me sometimes. It's neat to be me, huh? And so "My Father's Eyes" is a song that says, don't look through your own lens at stuff and at people, but try to look at them through God's eyes. Try to see them from a totally different perspective that only God has. Try to look deeper than just the things that separate you, the things that put you off, the things that make you prejudge. I want you to look at the spirit, not just the flesh. I want you to join me in trying to do something great for God. And here's the scripture that I want you to think about today. It's a scripture that comes from 2 Corinthians. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once, and we got it all wrong. They overlooked Jesus. He couldn't possibly be anybody special, let alone the Son of God. And yet, he was. He was the Messiah. Because we don't see things from God's perspective. It was a huge mistake. Wouldn't it be something if Woodlawn Church and all Americans everywhere and all people all over the world came together and stood together and said, "We're not going to judge people. We're not going to regard people. We're going to just try to get to know them. We're going to try to know their spirit and their heart. We're going to try to look at them with empathy and concern. And maybe if they act out, we're going to look past that because God loves them. And if God loves them, he looks at you and me and he says, I want you to love them too. You've got a responsibility as a Christian to love people, the unlovable people. Those are the ones who need it the most. Hurt people hurt people. The people who repel you the most are the people who need you the most oftentimes. And you don't get to be offended, because that's just taking the bait of Satan. Because that's what he wants you to do. Satan wants you to get offended, so you'll be at odds with that person, so you'll be at odds with God, and now he's got you isolated. He can beat you one-on-one all day long. He can just hammer you from now on. Or you can say, I'm going to choose not to be offended by that behavior. And I'm going to love that person regardless. Because you know what? God loved us. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We can be ugly sometime. And so from now on, I just want to love people. We live in a time that seems that prejudice and contempt are normal in some places, and sides have been drawn against one another. As ambassadors of Christ, we are called to offer his love to all people. And that's the challenge for all of us today. And it didn't come from me. I didn't make it up. It comes right out of the scripture. I've shared it with you today. From now on, we won't judge. We won't look just at the appearance. We'll move beyond that. We'll try to get to know the person. We'll try to feel the spirit there, the heart. Toward the end of his life, John Wesley was commissioning Thomas Coke to go to America and ordain Francis Asbury and others for ministry. He stood at the pier as the boat departed, and he said to Thomas Coke, offer them Christ, Thomas. Offer them Christ. And you know, if you and I can stop doing business as usual, if we can stop doing what we've always done all of our lives, when we look at other people, and we can just start seeing the heart and the spirit, God is saying the same thing to you and me. He's saying, get past it. Start looking at them in a different way. Offer them Christ, because that's why you're here. If God hadn't taken you to heaven, he's not through with you yet. That's what he wants you to do. That's why you're here. That's eternal. And so somebody told you, you get to tell them. And you know, when they ask, that's the best time to answer somebody's question. And God's going to give you divine appointments, and people are going to ask. And that's your cue. Speak up and speak the truth in love. Offer them Christ whenever you get the opportunity. Now, that's a challenge worth taking. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I just pray that you would help us get beyond ourselves, that you would change us, change our hearts, change our minds, change our spirits. Help us to look at the world through your eyes. We're so thankful, Lord, that you just give us opportunities all the time. I'm thankful that this woman waited on me this week at Publix at the pharmacy, and she was so kind to me, and she helped me get my medicine. And I was grateful for her, and she talked to me. And today at the 9 o'clock service, she was sitting in church. And I said, I've seen you before. She said, yeah, you have. Lord, I'm so thankful that my friend Stan Chapman, a man who was in the church in Navarre where I served for 20 years, he would come with his wife every Sunday, and he was Jewish. That was his background. His wife was a Christian, but I'm so grateful, Lord, that later on you spoke to his heart and he became a Christian. And now today he went to the Jordan River in Israel and he was baptized, and he came back because you gave me a glimpse of the rest of the story. and you let me see what you did in his life just because I tried to be faithful and obedient and get a front row seat to what you work. And he came back by to see us today, and what a blessing that was. And he said, now, I've got Sue's daughter here and her husband, and they live here in Panama City Beach, and I've invited them to come to church today, and they're looking for a church family. Lord, you knew all that way back. You put it all together, and we're just so grateful. We're so grateful that you give us the privilege to watch you work every day. Lord, we never know. We never know what the little things will do if we're just faithful and obedient, and you'll take them and make them something eternal. And we will thank you for it. We will celebrate it. We will praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,